Dear Thoughts and Prayers people, please shut up and slink away. You are the problem and everyone knows it. By the way, so many of you listening are those very own Dear Thoughts and Prayers people to whom Gene Weingarten of the Washington Post referred. Again, Dear Thoughts and Prayers people, please shut up and slink away. You are the problem, and everyone knows it. Weingarten was ridiculing conservatives who offered prayers for the San Bernardino Islamist terror victims, a mocking that was applauded and given wide coverage by liberal reporters at CNN, NBC, and CBS. Of course, right? And more about that. As the latest batch of innocent Americans are left lying in pools of blood, cowards who could truly end gun scourge continue to hide behind meaningless platitudes. Hey, conservative, now you're a coward. In other words, people of faith do little more than think about Islamist terrorist victims, talk about the terror attacks, and pray for the victims, but do nothing about it. And then came the New York Daily News with the massive front page headline, which read as follows: God isn't fixing this. Can you believe that? God isn't fixing this. And neither by implication, according to the Daily News, are people of faith. Sort of faith without works people hiding behind a prayer shawl. It just simply is unbelievable in this day and age how people of faith are mocked and ridiculed, and marginalized, and disrespected, and the worst is yet to come. The liberal media, in fact, all of the often radical progressive movement, becomes shockingly ever more hostile, not only to faith, but people of faith. That, of course, includes all things Jewish, you listening, my Jewish friends, as well as Christian. But I wonder if the liberal media would have the courage to include Islam, which religion spawned the radical terrorist attacks to begin with. Would the liberal media have the courage to attack them? The Daily News and the Washington Post may very well not want an ISIS attack on their headquarters. No matter, for in today's world, Christians are always subject to attack. Always. And then recall the words of Harvard Law School professor Mark Kushnet, a spokesman of sorts for the effort to vanquish conservative Christian values from the marketplace. Kushnet said, "The culture wars are over. They lost, we won. What you believe, Christians and Jews, the Judeo-Christian ethic simply doesn't work and should be banned from the marketplace." More from Kushnet. For liberals, the question is now how to deal with the losers, and that would be you, my conservative friend. My own judgment is that taking hard line, "you lost, live with it," "you lost, live with it," is better than trying to accommodate the losers. That's us, the losers. In short, go away, conservatives and Christians, just go away. There will be no accommodation. Your lifestyle and values will never be tolerated, and we the winners will ban you and your thinking from the marketplace. In fact, from all of American life, if we can. In other words, and in other ways as well, the new constitutional right for gay marriage and all things gay trumps the First Amendment right of freedom of religion. If Judeo-Christian sanctioned values get in the way of the progressive liberal agenda, including gay rights, that agenda wins and religious freedom loses. You know, we, the people of thoughts and prayers, get out of the marketplace. And then come the Democrats and Hillary Clinton. America's first freedom, religious liberty, did not even make the cut and was not even included in the Democratic, the DNC platform, which so many think is the most radical document in the party's history. In short, Democrats now state and think openly that religious liberty is incompatible with sexual liberalism. M.S. Feldman, former head of the EEOC as appointed by Barack Obama, stated the following: "Gays win, Christians lose." Hey, another shot at the Christians and conservatives, huh? Another way of saying that there will be no accommodation between the new progressive agenda and freedom of religion. Feldblum goes on to say the following, "I have a hard time coming up with any case in which religious liberty should win." Wow. And that, my fellow Americans, is in fact the formal position of the Democratic Party and Hillary Rodham Clinton. By the way, have you ever heard anything about religious freedom or faith or even people of faith? Any faith from Hillary Rodham Clinton? If you have, please let me know. It seems as though no one knows what she believes, whatever it is. You never hear anything from her when it comes to anything religious, including the slaughter of Christians the world over by Islamic terrorists. As Secretary of State, she did nothing about that. There was not even a comment, not a comment regarding the slaughter of a Catholic priest in France. Nothing. You never hear from Clinton and the Democrats anything positive and constructive about Israel, do you? The Clinton camp, of course, approves the Iran nuclear treaty with all of its side deals. Well over 400 million. Barack Obama lied to us about that. And dangers to our beloved America and to the world at large. A treaty corrupt to the core, typically Obama. And, of course, the liberal radical media, the worst media America has ever experienced, asks her no questions, allows her to get away with virtually anything, Hillary Rodham Clinton, including Benghazi, the email scandals, and the infamous Clinton Foundation, all for that ultimate purpose, political power, the presidency. In my view, the liberal media is the most corrupt it has ever been in our great country. So subjective. The liberal media is nothing more than a monstrous public relations machine for the progressive movement and the Democratic Party. And so there continues the push fostered by liberals and Democrats for genderless bathrooms, special treatment for transgenders, gay sex education curriculum, gay history, abortion rights, and funding and Planned Parenthood, and so much more, rammed down the throats of Americans in a fiercely and proudly intolerant way. There is no accommodation. For them, freedom of religion simply is secondary, if it exists at all, when confronted by the new constitutional rights for gays. Congressman Jared Polis, Democrat from Colorado, who is himself gay, dared to suggest that there may be room to accommodate men and women of faith. A spokesman for the pro-LGBT Gill Foundation referred to the suggestion as blaspheme. Blaspheme, Congressman Polis, and quickly interjected, "I want to be careful that we don't say there is a kind of balance between equality and religious freedom." No balance for that one. In other words, now that liberals have gotten what they wanted from same-sex marriage rights, there's no point in hiding the rest of this radical agenda, which so many think far too many Americans never saw coming. Did you? But the battle is here, my fellow Americans, and people of faith, it is here. It is now. The liberal storm no longer gathers. It rains its shocking agenda and thunders its now steamrolling attack upon traditional and conservative American values. The storm is here. And the censorship on college campuses, even churches, and of course in the political arena, is everywhere, ubiquitous. And it's growing. In so many places in Europe, the political state wants to shut down debate on hot topics like immigration and marriage and sexuality and the critique of other religions. And now there is an ever-growing movement everywhere to champion the cause of hate speech. Watch out for that one, my fellow Americans. You know, that's also in that First Amendment, which is going downhill real fast, freedom of speech. Every kind of freedom of speech, perhaps, but not hate speech. In fact, many European nations are working on legislation, a new code of ethics which condemns hate speech and seeks to codify speech laws everywhere. In fact, in Europe today, street preachers are often arrested, conservative journalists fined, and seemingly simple conversations could quickly trigger trouble for private citizens. Why? Because of these subjective and selectively enforced laws. Laws against speech. In some cases, convictions are not always the main objective. For the actual process of accusation and investigation is in fact itself the punishment. Mere investigations can lead to the destruction of people's livelihoods. Oh, can it ever? And warns Lyle Mercer, an Australian who is the managing director of Mercer PR, many churches seem reluctant to stand up for their traditional values because they are too afraid of the potential backlash on social media and the mainstream media. Mercer says most directly that churches should take a stand because it's the right thing to do. Mercer goes on to say that the so-called silent majority is real, and those millions upon millions of people are just waiting for someone, anyone, to take the lead. Churches, Mercer thinks, and their pastors should be those leaders and significantly influence the debate. And Mercer says again most directly, the lack of a voice by the church continues to cede ground to those with alternative agendas and views. So church leaders should not be fearful of standing up for what they believe. By the way, my fellow American, does your pastor stand up, or is he or she intimidated? I wonder, my fellow Americans, what kind of a cultural wars leader your pastor is. There are many, far too many pastors who are intimidated, lacking the courage to stand up and speak out, and consequently abnegate the high ground to the radical progressives. They simply do not champion the values, the ethical teachings, and the admonitions of the Old Testament, the Torah, and the New Testament, as though they were writings to be interpreted in an organic and current way, like they would our Constitution, rather than godly absolutes. If the church and its leaders are indifferent or morally neutral, then, as scriptures say, how shall the people hear? How shall they hear? And who will lead them in the paths of righteousness? Without leadership, a leader, the people perish, or at least their values do. And more from our friends the Democrats. As the Democratic National Convention opened its proceedings in Philadelphia, they began with a word of prayer from a Christian minister. But when that preacher dared to offer a blessing upon Hillary Clinton, as one pundit said, all hell broke loose. When the Reverend Cynthia Hale prayed, quote, we have an opportunity, O God, to give undeniable evidence to our commitment to justice and equality by nominating Hillary Rodham Clinton for the highest office in the land, end quote. Those Democrats in attendance literally heckled the poor lady, booing and jeering in the middle of her prayer, even to the point of the jeering turning into chants for, you ready for this, Bernie Sanders. Bernie, 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 right in the middle of the prayer. Says a lot about the Democrats, don't you think? Think about that, my fellow Americans, when it is time to vote in November. If you are a person of faith, remember that freedom of religion has no place in the Democratic agenda, none at all. If you are a person not of faith, neutral in your thinking, but respectful and protective of our great Constitution, and especially its First Amendment, including freedom of religion, think about that further, that constitutional evisceration of what is sure to come if Clinton and company are elected. Think about that. And now comes the proposal of the so-called Equality Act. Equality Act. It's now in the House of Representatives, which would require acceptance of special protections for homosexual and transgender behavior in 25, that's right, 25 areas of federal law with no religious liberty protections for people of faith who disagree. Read the proposed act for yourself. You can get it on the internet. The Equality Act. And you will be well aware of the federal government's legislative attempt to codify these rights on the one hand and quantify the punishments and disciplines for violating the requirements of this act on the other. It is just unbelievable what is happening in America. Absolutely unbelievable. Are you aware, really aware of what's going on? That reminds me of the words in the title of the great book written by Dr. David Jeremiah, the pastor and leader of the wonderful program Turning Point. He said, "I never thought I'd see the day." We, the Americans, recently celebrated the 60th anniversary of the adoption of the fantastic words, "In God We Trust." That, as I hope you know, my fellow Americans, is our, the American official national motto. In fact, that was enacted by Congress and signed into law by President Dwight D. Eisenhower in 1956, 60 years ago. This motto, honoring the creator of our universe, represents the collective faith of the American people. And now comes the movement and, in fact, the litigation against our federal government to repeal the motto, to repeal the words, "In God We Trust," and more specifically, the removal of the motto from all United States currency. Yet again, another attempt to get God out of culture. The plaintiffs include more than 40 organizations and individuals, rabid atheists who want no part of God for themselves or for America. Their objective is to get the Supreme Court to hold that this 60-year-old motto is an unconstitutional violation of the separation of church and state. In today's cultural and legal climate, there's every possibility this litigation will be successful. And not only will "In God We Trust" disappear from our public life, but it may well be banned in some ways, many ways, from our private life as well, including our money. What a world. I never thought, with David Jeremiah, I'd see the day. And now comes the new law from Russia, which bans all missionary activities in residential areas and requires Christians who want to share their faith with others, even on the Internet, to obtain authorization documents from a religious association. In short, if what you want to say is not authorized and sanctioned by a recognized religious entity, you, the individual, simply cannot say it. If you, the individual, do so, you will be fined. And if an unauthorized organization does so, a much larger fine for any missionary work or gospel spreading will be imposed. And if you are a foreigner, you will be immediately deported. In short, there is strong legal liability now in place for any violation of these new laws. End of freedom of conscience and religion in Russia, if it in fact ever existed. Thousands of churches in Russia came together in prayer and fasting against this new so-called Putin law, which effectively punishes any kind of religious evangelism outside of churches. And so it goes, country after country, state after state, attacking freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and imposing the most serious kinds of penalties for daring to share your faith. Unbelievable. Again, the words of David Jeremiah, "What in the world is going on?" Another title of his good book. Interestingly, in Russia, people, of course, will be intimidated with regard to sharing their faith, even with a neighbor or passerby. In addition, all communications providers, including the Internet, will be subject to surveillance and censorship. One Russian said that the Russian Evangelical Church will soon find itself behind a new iron curtain, which closes off society from the outside world. It is, says one Christian minister, the most draconian anti-religion bill to be proposed in Russia since Nikita Khrushchev promised to eliminate Christianity in the Soviet Union. Remember him? This new law will, says another Russian Christian leader, create conditions for the repression of all Christians. Any person who mentions their religious views or reflections out loud or puts them in writing without the relevant documents could be accused of illegal missionary activity and subjected to a heavy fine. You will, Christian, be persecuted for spreading the word of God in Russia. Get ready for some serious penalties and jail time, Russian Christians. Get ready. Most people of faith are well aware of the incredibly growing anti-Semitism. the movement BDS, Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions, against Israel, grows, even to the point of being adopted by several Christian denominations. Israel is accused of being apartheid and even genocidal by many. And now comes the so-called Black Lives Matter, BLM, movement. Are you familiar with them? With its very own anti-Israel political platform, which both confused and angered many Jewish BLM supporters. It sure should, Jewish people. The BLM platform accuses Israel of conducting genocide against the Palestinian people and blatantly refers to Israel as an apartheid state. That led the Ecumenical Leadership Council of Missouri, a group of predominantly African-American churches, to state, "The Ecumenical Leadership Council of Missouri, representing hundreds of predominantly African-American churches throughout the state, rejects without hesitation any notion or assertion that Israel operates as an apartheid country." Good for you, and well said, Ecumenical Leadership Council, well said. Thank you. Thank you for standing up against the Black Lives Matter movement, for protesting the radical political agenda of BLM, and otherwise standing for the Judeo-Christian partnership, the real spiritual partnership in the support of Israel. We, the people of faith, are at war, are we not? The storm has gathered. It is here. It is now. We, the people of faith, stand together to fight the fight of faith now, or the battle will be lost. And so many of our precious constitutional freedoms, including and especially the freedom of religion, will be forever gone. Again, the words of former President Ronald Reagan, "Freedom once lost is lost forever." Remember that when you vote in November. Please remember that. But in fact, you, the person of faith, must vote in November. Hear the words of the good organization, the Family Research Council. "Christian voters must embrace their duty to vote, particularly for righteous candidates. Our laziness, our disrespect for the opportunity God has given us in the vote is a large sin for which we need to repent. It is," says FRC, "a duty, an absolute duty, a Christian duty to vote. Not to vote is disrespect for God and the opportunity God has given us in the vote. That," says FRC, "is in fact," I love the words, "a large sin." It gets no more direct or blunt than that, does it? The words again. It is a large sin against God not to vote. We squander the opportunities the Lord has provided to advance His kingdom through the peaceful vote. It is our one and final opportunity to have the people who lead us make the right decisions, particularly with respect to our constitutional rights and the freedom of religion. FRC reminds us that we squander the opportunities the Lord has provided to advance His kingdom through the peaceful vote. We have a duty as well, the organization says, to work to convince Christian brethren to put on their boots and go and vote on that appointed day. Those words of FRC, so many of them were adopted by this good organization, were authored by John Bona, who wrote the book, The Christian Vote Book 2016. It is a book every Christian should read. Please remember that, and you can get it from FRC, The Christian Vote Book 2016. Get it and read it. So, my fellow Americans, where do you stand? Perhaps the question should be, do you in fact stand? Stand up, that is. Are you vocal in your faith, in your political conviction, in your beliefs about the great America and all that it offers? Are you? Do you stand up and speak and act and work for this great country, especially you, the pastors? Or do you stay home, intimidated, afraid of radical liberal backlash, and do nothing? Do you remain part of the silent majority, a loser in the culture wars, surrendering the moral high ground? Or will you, American citizen and pastor, will you fight of faith and the Constitution? I hope and pray indeed for the latter. I hope that you will stand, do something, even where, as Scriptures say, two or three are gathered together. That's all, two or three. There comes the power of the God of faith, and those two or three can really make a difference. Be one of them, my fellow Americans, and stand up for America. Stand up for its freedoms now, now. For if they are lost now, they are lost forever.